Get up in the evening feeling like Craig Thompson. Yeah. Grab my laptop, set up my mic, I'm gonna rant and rave some. Before I record, grab a glass of Coke and Jack. Cause when we begin recording, I know I'm not refilling that. Talking, previewing all the games, analyzing stats and plays, laughing, poking fun at names. Jeremy reads and quotes Phil Steelzine, pulling up numbers and reads. Starting to get a bit off topic, see? What? Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the games not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. We're biased against your team and we make that clear. Don't get paid, don't ever fade, cause we're already here. Talk about hoops and football, cause we got all the swagger. Sometimes guests come on the show, but we never have Mick Jagger. All the writers cramping up, Matt's throwing his arms up, Kyle's got all the funny stuff. We go until SBN shuts us down, or Mountain West hunts us down. Mountain West shuts us down, nobody's gonna shut us down. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight. Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Don't stop, make it hot, yell about the takes not. Chris will start a fight about the rankings tonight.
Yes, he will.
Mountain West connection and the hot takes don't stop now. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Mountain West connection show. We're back. For those who heard earlier, this is take two, but that thing's deleted now. Jeremy Moss here with Chris Hondris. I crossed my fingers. Are you there?
Were people actually listening in the last show?
Roger was, because he's coming on later. He's like,
so he
here's
probably,
what he said.
He probably,
hold
heard
on.
Me, he probably heard me cursing profusely at you the whole time.
Let's see what he said here. We'll have Roger on Prabal from Bronco Nation News. Anyway, man, I'm here. Let me know when you figure out how you're going to do this thing. I was listening in. Things are going off the rails on the tech side. I will take full blame. If you're back in listening, Roger, I'm tweeting out the link right now for those who want to listen now. And I guess this is better than me going back and editing afterwards, but this is the show, right?
Really? Because I thought the first take was actually pretty damn hilarious.
I don't know.
Maybe you should set that up as like an outtake for like, you know, the end of the year stuff.
I wish I could. I deleted it because on Blog Talk Radio, you can only, our setup is one show per day, so that's lost forever.
Well, that's a buzzkill.
That is. It would have been fun because we have been interesting to have that type of stuff. But we'll tweet out the link. But the website we write stuff on and sometimes try to speak to hundreds of thousands of people is mwcconnection.com. Tonight we're back. I assume we're back. I promised last week we're back pretty much full time. Is that safe to say on your end, or do you have other conflicts that might get in the way?
Look, until I – okay, so – You know, I'm trying to get,
I know.
It's going to be very difficult these last 3 weeks until classes are over. Thanks, UNLV. no, actually, I should be good to go. There should be very minimal things, you know. Friday, I've got to attend the school prom so I can chase kids out doing inappropriate things, you know, being the enforcer. That's kind of fun stuff.
Excellent.
Yeah.
No, I just joked. We're back. We're going to try to be back. I told pretty much regular once a week or so, we're going to try to get a draft guy next week. Tonight's quarterbacks, because if you know who your school's quarterback is going to be, let me know, because I don't think anybody knows outside of like three schools. And so here's what we're doing. We're having Matt Kennerly on about half. Well, it could be in 5 minutes because we're already way past when we wanted to start. So we'll talk for us. No, we'll have a few other guys. Like I said, we have already read some direct messages between me and Roger there for Bronco Nation News to talk about Boise State's quarterback situation. But let's just get into it because we should have some guys calling on soon. So And we do have a special guest later tonight at the end of the show, so we cross our fingers that guy shows up. And no, it's not Craig Thompson. Sorry, guys.
Wait. Is this the guy I'm bringing on, or is this?
Yeah,
I
just saw your message. They said it's a possibility they could be coming on tonight, Lonnie.
Yeah. Huge celebrity. So I guess we'll start into the Air Force situation, right?
Quarterback, here's what we do know. Before we get to anything, I want to ask you right now, who would you say is the most stable quarterback situation going into the next season? As for confidence-wise, production, and expectations.
Utah State or New Mexico?
Not Air Force?
No. Because what happens if Romine goes down?
Good point. I was going to say New Mexico, and that sounds far-fetched because it is a low.
No, it doesn't, because we've been hyping up Lamar Jordan for the last year, so don't. Cut the crap.
No, you and me and people know, because I get people, their offense is boring. It's like, no, it's not boring. But here, I think it's New Mexico because you've got Lamar Jordan. I believe, I was looking around until my internet crapped out before, it was Cole Galaxy still on the roster?
I have yet to see Belsey's preview in a long time.
I'll look that up real quick because they also have
I think Gauchi still is on the roster.
I read something about New Mexico going hurry up, no huddle, that type of stuff, which is complete opposite of Bob Davey, but they have him, Lamar Jordan there, they're throwing more, and then they brought in a guy from Washington State and also the community college. But let's start in alphabetical order. We'll get to that later. I think it's New Mexico, but Air Force. This is a secure – is it safe to say Nate Romine securely the starter, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And all we really need to say is Dwayne, our Air Force guy, puts a message in the comments. Nate Romine played – I think he started in 9 games in 13 when they were the first team, which we didn't pick up, had the quinterback system there with Troy Calhoun in 2013. He takes over for Kel Pearson, but – I think they'll be fine, at least off quarterback only. But I think they're, out of any position, any team, them minus Utah State, they're probably the team that this is our guy, week one, whoever they're playing.
Yeah, I can make an argument for UNLV, and we'll get to that later on the show. But, yeah, I think you're pretty much correct.
Yeah, but UNLV's not, even though we probably know who it is, it's not a certainty yet.
I'll see that.
I'm just saying announcement-wise because, we're going to skip Boise because we'll have a guy in later talk about Boise. But let's go to Colorado State. They are moving on. They got new head coach Mike Bobo there. They don't have Garrett Grayson, who Grayson could be the first Mountain West player, top five quarterback, top three quarterback probably taken in the draft. They
have
this guy.
Ball, Bobo.
Yes. Yeah, and they don't have DeHart either, so they have to find whoever it's going to be back there running the ball. But Nick Stevens, I was trying to get Rich Kurtzman on. He does a bunch of Ram stuff in Denver for various outlets. We were talking on Twitter. He said Nick Stevens looked very, very good at their quarterback in their, I think it was their first scrimmage on this past Saturday.
That's a good sign, man. What he says about Coleman, which is looking like more and more to be the backup right now, is this is a quote from Mike Bobo from the Coloradan. Coleman makes plays every time we scrimmage. And are in scrimmage situation, but a lot of his times his eyes are in the wrong place, which gets him in trouble, and the ball doesn't come out as quick as I'd like.
Yeah, and what is Coleman Key? He's a redshirt freshman, I believe, or he's going to be a sophomore, I believe. Is that right? He's a young guy. He's out of Oklahoma, and the other coach who it's basically my mind. What's his name in Florida now? Jim McElwain, sorry. I spaced for a moment. He brought him in, but they would call it a state. They still have this guy called Rashard Higgins back there. He's pretty good.
Yeah.
And this,
he's only going to be a minor threat.
Yeah, he's a Biletnikoff finals last year. Good chance to win it. But at CSU, it's probably Nick Stevens. It's not announced. Bobo's not going to announce until fall. But it's just a race where it's not for sure, but we're pretty, you know what I mean? It's one of those things like, oh, it's going to be the guy. They'll just wait to announce it. a week in camp just to see, because it seems like they like Coleman Key from what you read from that scrimmage the other day. He makes plays, but just inconsistent, it seems like.
Right, right.
And do you think, because replacing Grayson's a pretty big deal, just not, we're not going to project teams far going out, but like Bill C and other people are saying they could still win like 9 games this year, which I think might be their highest of high ceilings this season. And it looks like we lost Chris. Lovely. Perfect. I see he just dropped. I did not kick you out, Chris. I'll pull you back in. But I think the Rams, if they can find a running back, they might be able to be in the top 9 again, get to 9 wins. But let me send Chris a message to get him back in here. But with the Rams there, Nick Stevens has been around for a bit. We've only seen him in minimal action. So who knows exactly what it'll be. But going off of spring, if you look at what he's done the spring game so far, or spring scrimmage, and talking to Mike Rich Kurtz and other people, he looks confident, looks to be the guy. And if he, with a new offense, new everything, new running back, a new system almost, and he's already doing that well, offense is going to be ahead of the defense almost always during, as it is during spring. But it's a good thing to see them having success already, because sometimes with new coaches, new system tweaks, the defense might be better, and that hasn't been the case yet. So let's see if we can get Chris back in here in a moment. We'll find out. This is a lovely night for our first time back. Hey, there you go. I didn't kick you out this time. That wasn't me.
Uh-huh. Sure you didn't. I see how it's a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy, Paul!
I don't know what's going on. It is interesting. We'll have fun when Matt joins us possibly momentarily. But any other thoughts on Colorado State? Because I just think, I don't know if you heard what I just said, but basically with a new system, new running back, you don't have Ty, the left tackle there is going to be a top 100 pick probably. And the offense is doing as well as they are so far. It's a good sign for them.
Yeah, yeah. And it was commenter Hensley one who, in Terrence's big whole bold predictions thing, said he could picture almost every single team in the Mountain Division finishing both from first to last. Just because that's how strong the Mountain Division is.
Even New Mexico.
Don't be surprised if Exactly. So don't be surprised if Colorado State happens to have a down year because the other teams are stronger.
I could see the worst team being Wyoming, perhaps, but even them, they might be still battling for a bowl spot.
Yep. We'll do the old 6-1 bowl game.
Very
similar to the SEC West.
But wait, whoa. No, do not compare them. They lost all their bowl games, 0-5.
Who?
SEC West. They lost all their bowl games.
Did they?
Alabama, LSU, Texas A&M.
Yeah.
LSU lost. Who do they? They're in the East, pal. Aren't they?
Auburn?
I don't know. I don't know my SEC divisions.
I was making it as a relative comparative strength, but anyway.
I get your point. It's going to be a strong division in the Mountain, and we'll have plenty of time to do our giant preview. We'll do when we kind of just screw around and bring everybody on for all our predictions. But the Mountain is by far the strongest. Fresno is going to be rebuilding again. Aztecs has the best player in Donnell Pumphrey coming back, and that probably should lead them to win the West Division. But it won't be enough, I don't think, to win like 10 games, I don't think. But let's move. We're still waiting. We'll have our guy Matt Kennerly, hopefully. I think that's who I think I told this time, half past the hour. But let's go to the next team.
I'll send him a Facebook chat.
Send him a chat. I don't recall what time it was since we had a little cluster at the beginning of the show here. But we'll move on momentarily. Let's go to San Jose State for a moment here. They finished spring football back in early March, I think. They've been done for a long time. And despite them having Joe Gray back, and he started nine games, he is not the clear-cut starter by any means. It's another school where at least Ron Carragher didn't let slip early on who's it's going to be, because he's done that in the past, where he just made a terrible rookie coach mistake about naming a starter like on Monday when it didn't really need to be made until the end of the week. And I don't know what to expect from San Jose State, because Joe Gray wasn't that great. He had too many interceptions. He did okay. handful of touchdowns, but it's the Spartans, man. Since David Fales left, they have not been very good throwing the ball at all, or had anybody to do that.
Yeah, Matt's calling in right now, by the way.
Oh, yeah, okay. We'll finish this up and bring Matt on.
Yeah, so Joe Gray, but this was the same situation with last year. David Fales was gone. You had three quarterbacks who were competing for the spring, and there was really no clear cut. And in fact, the guy who looked like he was leading in the spring ended up not starting at the beginning of the fall.
Yeah, Blake Dreher.
So
So
this is the kind of thing that I think Ron Carragher, it's not necessarily an X's and O's guys. I think he really wants to give a chance for all of his quarterbacks. And he can do that now. I mean, he had a very, very strong recruiting season last season. So the key becomes now, well, if you've got strength in many positions and youth at many positions, then who's going to be able to make the least amount of mistakes? And I think we're not going to see who the starting quarterback is up until the day right before the season begins.
I believe so, because the guy's back there. It's like it has to be Joe Gray. He has, if it's not him, I don't see why it's not. He started nine games. He did okay, but the other guys that are back there, why would you want to have this inexperience starting? Because Kenny Potter and Malik Watson have no experience at the FBS level. And so it's like, really? You're going to have those guys start when you have a guy who's played nine games last year, started nine games? Then again, one last thing before we get to matters hanging on, but they do bring in.
Yeah,
OC.
Sorry, I'm trying to process what you're.
With Al Borg is coming on. Like, he's the new OC for San Jose State, so that could be something. You laugh, but he did a reasonably good job at San Diego State.
Yeah, he did such a great job. And then he had such a great career at Michigan.
Michigan. That's Brady Oak's fault.
Between him and the Gerg, I mean, San Jose State has just picked up a whole bunch of crappy assistants trying to pass off for head coaches. You have Borges and the Gerg. This is going to be so entertaining to watch, because it's either going Carragher's either going to look like an absolute genius for picking up like has-beens, and
yeah,
they're all going to turn it around, or.
Yeah.
Or what's going to happen is they're just going to continue their horrible, horrible trend of badness.
I don't. One thing too, I don't get. I don't know why Mitch Ravizza is not even in the mix here, because he played a little bit last year. But there, it's got to be Joe Gray. They got to make a decision. But we'll move on. Let's get a fun quarterback situation here with our good friend Matt here, does Fresno State. So Matt, is it finally Zach Greenlee? Finally, one quarterback only.
Well,
maybe.
Well, maybe. First of all. Good evening to you, gentlemen.
Good evening, Matt. How are you?
Yes, good evening.
You know what? I'm doing pretty well. Thanks. As for the quarterback situation, at the moment, it seems like Greenlee has the inside track.
That's all you got? Okay. But, like, what did you see, like, during spring? You're at the spring game a couple weeks ago. What did you see between him and who else is in the mix?
Well, the big thing to keep in mind, first of all, is that none of the three quarterbacks involved in the competition were facing a defense that was at 100%. Charles Washington didn't play at all. There are a couple of the linebackers didn't play. So, you know, the defense is in transition just as much as the offense is. But what really stood out to me was how comfortable Greenlee looked compared to the other two, the incoming freshman Chasen Virgil and redshirt freshman Kilton Anderson. To me, it seemed like Virgil, he kind of possessed the superior athleticism. You know, he and Greenlee both showed a little bit of a tendency to want to flee the pocket when there was a little bit of pressure. But Virgil was the guy who had speed to really make that count. He ripped off a couple of significant gains on the ground. But Greenlee was the guy who really moved the ball with a lot of efficiency. you know, he had, I think it was like a 10 or 12 play drive for a touchdown to one of our numerous redshirt freshman receivers. And then, well, that's the thing, though. Like, you know, the quarterbacks are young, but the guys that they're throwing to are young, too. So it's almost like they're really coming up together. But I think the fact that Greenlee didn't see as much of the field as Anderson and Virgil, to me, that signaled that, you know, they were, the coaching staff at least was a little more comfortable with how Greenlee looked so far in the spring, and that they wanted to get longer looks at the guys behind him to see who might, you know, really be the ultimate contender when fall rolls around.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, we know he's our guy, but get these other guys back up reps. So what happens? We all saw the Hawaii Bowl game, which was a mess. They brought in Greenlee. I get it's a weird different situation in spring, but he looked terrible in that game, throwing the ball wherever, anywhere that wasn't to a Fresno State receiver, no Josh Harper or anybody. He said he kind of looked better throwing the ball. Is it just because, I guess, comfort level compared to that Hawaii game? Because anytime when he was in that game, he was not – poise was not the word I was looking for in seeing him playing football.
Well, let me put it this way. Compared to what Greenlee looked like at last year's spring showcase, he looked a lot better this time around.
So who's going to catch the ball then, Aaron Peck and all those young guys?
Well, I mean, you have to figure that, well, now Aaron Peck's not exactly a young guy anymore. He's actually one of two seniors on the receiving core. Justin Johnson's probably going to have a significant role. But other than that, it's really kind of anybody's guess. My initial inclination is to say that there's probably going to be at least three or four guys who will work their way into the wide receiver rotation. Keon Williams was a guy who really stood out. He caught a couple touchdowns from Greenlee and Virgil. Well, I'm trying to pull up the roster, so I don't forget anybody. I mean, other than that, there were a handful of guys who had, you know, one or two catches, but there were some other guys who, I mean, it was Williams who really made the biggest impact. Nobody else really stood out, but you have to figure other guys like Delvon Hardaway and trying to remember his name. You know, Chad Olson, who didn't play in the spring game, but he's going to be back. Those are guys that have reps under their belt already. So you figure they might be in the mix for, you know, 30, 40 catches apiece. And that's really what they want the offense to look like. They don't necessarily have to be in the position where they were in the Derek Carr days, where they had a guy like Devontae Adams catching 100 passes. I wouldn't really be surprised.
Well, But he also had three NFL wide receivers on that team and five
that
NFL
too.
Players.
Well, I mean, I figure, you know, whoever leads the team in catches is probably going to finish with, like, no more than 70 or 75. And then you're going to have two or three guys behind him who probably have, like, 30 or 40. And I think if they could do that, then that probably means that they're moving the ball effectively, which means that whoever they put under center is the guy that, you know, eventually works out. Because it can't be any worse than last year, let's put it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. So what
so
about...
Mean,
what
wait,
about
wait, hold on, Chris, hold on, wait. Does that mean we can burn the Quinterback t-shirts, or should we hold on to those?
We're totally holding on to Chris.
Okay, well, let's put it that way. By the way, you still owe me one of those.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I'll get you one soon.
Yay! That means we're gonna actually sell two Quinterback t-shirts. Hey, everybody, the Quinterback t-shirt is on sale at the Mountain West Connection store. Go buy them.
But, I mean, I hate to disappoint you guys, but those three guys, Anderson, Virgil, and Greenlee, are the only three guys listed at quarterback on the roster at the moment.
Dang it.
And besides, even though Matt coined the Quinterback offense, he wasn't referring to Fresno in that. He was referring to New Mexico.
Yeah.
That's fine. I don't care. Anybody that plays
Quinterback didn't come until later.
If you
play, they might be one of the teams that don't have a controversy, right?
There's not. That's why we're doing this show. Every team has what it seems like. There's all like 9 or 12.
So, speaking of controversies, let's go with not controversy. Who's in the most secure position after watching the spring game? What I mean by that is who is in the best position to really not only just secure their position, but really be a star of the team and maybe lead the Mountain West in anything?
Are we talking about individual players on offense or defense?
Sure, why not?
You pick.
Well, I mean, it's really hard to say. I mean, if, I don't know if you guys read Bill Connolly's preview, but what he pointed out, which hadn't really fully occurred to me, is that Fresno State's going to be really young this year. So to pick out one guy who's going to make a leap from kind of respectable to like an all-conference level is kind of hard to say. But if I had to pick one guy, I really liked the way Malcolm Washington looked last year. He's you know, in his second year, he really kind of stabilized the defense after it was kind of shuffling in the defensive backfield late in the year. And when he came in, he's going to line up opposite of Charles Washington. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, he is able to kind of assert himself because he's kind of a big cornerback. He's, you know, 6'2", which actually makes him the biggest DB on the team. So, you know, that's going to present some matchup problems for certain receivers throughout the conference. So it wouldn't surprise me if he kind of makes the leap and maybe he's not first team All Mountain West, but if he's second team All Mountain West, I'm not going to be surprised.
And along that same line, let's go to quarterback, because that's what the show's about. Do you, I hope this is not the case, but is there going to be any yo-yoing at all? Because the first half last season was awful to watch. And probably worse for you when you didn't know who was playing quarterback.
Well, I mean, let's hope not, first of all. But, I mean, you figure with the non-conference schedule that Fresno State has coming up, I would not be surprised if Greenlee struggles early on. Because, you know, I'm assuming he's going to be under center when they play Abilene Christian before Labor Day. But, I mean, you figure they've got a trip to Ole Miss in week two, and then they come home to face Utah in week three. So if Greenlee struggles early and one of the other guys looks good in the fall, my guess is probably Jason Virgil wins the backup job. I wouldn't be surprised if Druder and Schramm get desperate and decide, you know, yank one for the other. I don't think it's necessarily wise, but I wouldn't be surprised if it happens.
So who makes that call? Was it all Druder? I don't, because I know Schramm a little bit when he's at Utah. There wasn't, if I recall, wasn't too much any quarterback issues at all. But so is it DeRuiter's choice to make those changes last year every 5 seconds? Or was it more Schramm making the change?
Well, I think that had more to do with the situations that the offense wanted to get themselves in. Because, you know, Brandon Connett made his, you know, he made his name on being more of the running quarterback in Duke's offense. And, you know, when he came in and tried to do the same thing in the early weeks, it just didn't really work out at all. You know, they don't have a quarterback like Connett on the roster. You know, Greenlee and Virgil aren't that big. I think they're both 6'1". And, you know, they both have a little bit of mobility, but they're not the kind of guy that you want to bring in and try to zone read consistently on, like, you know, third and two or, like, second and one or something like that. I think they do want to be, like, a pass first. They want their quarterback to be pass first. And right now, that's actually part of the reason why I think Greenlee is going to be under center.
Excellent. Interesting. So what kind of expectations? I mean, this is, we're not in our Fresno State preview yet, but what kind of expectations would you have realistically for this Fresno State group? I mean, are they going to make a serious run at the West Division title? Are they going to make a serious run at the Mountain West title, or are they just going to be in survival mode like they were last year?
I mean, honestly, if they can get at least a little bit better quarterback play than they did a year ago, I wouldn't say that they're the front runner for the division title right now, but I wouldn't necessarily count them out. A lot of it is going to be, you know, trying to be a little more efficient moving the chains and definitely cutting down on the turnovers because, you know, between Burrell and Connett, the team threw 21 interceptions a year ago. If they can cut that down, whoever's under center, to, I don't know, 15 or something like that, that's the kind of thing that when you look at the games a year ago, they lost a couple of games, you know, in the early going because they just couldn't capitalize on opportunities. They kept, you know, turning the ball over. I'm thinking especially of the UNLV game and the bowl game versus Rice. They were right there and they just let it slip away. So they're going to need to get a little bit lucky. Whoever ends up under center is going to need to develop as the season goes along. I think if we can get maybe 75% or, I don't know, 70% of what we got from Derek Carr, that'll put us in a position to go back to a bowl, I think, at the very least. But right now, I really wouldn't expect them to compete for a conference title.
That makes sense. I think they should just give the ball to Marquise Waller 80 times a game and see how that works out.
Oh, they're going to. They're going to do that too. But they got to, you know, they got to keep him fresh because they don't have Josh Quezada anymore. They have a couple guys who, you know, they missed some time last year because of injuries. Guys like Malik Meisenheimer, and behind him, there's really a lot of mystery, a lot of freshmen and redshirt freshmen,
young guys.
So.
Yeah.
So, you know, whoever gets the ball after Waller is anybody's guess right now.
All right. So thank you very much, Mr. Matthew Kennerly. We are moving on to have another guest here, but excellent Fresno stuff. Great quarterback stuff. Yes, if you haven't read Bill C's preview, read that. Read Matt's stuff. And, of course, you're always welcome back. We'll have you on down the road for our other random previews and nonsense we have.
Oh, yeah.
Random nonsense.
All right. Thanks, Matthew and Matt.
All right,
so now we bring on, we're moving directly into Boise State with Raja Prabal, who's been on us our show before. Check him out at Raj BNN on the Twitters there. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
First question, very serious. How did you like our first attempt at the show that nobody will hear?
No, it was great. You got Bronco Nation News out there, so I'm all good.
No, Chris.
Before
is-
you...
No, the very beginning. Not this, when Chris was swearing because I couldn't connect the show.
No, I was actually joking around with the guys, and I said, right before you disconnected the show, you just say, we got Raj from Bronco Nation News, and then you said, screw it, we're just going to start again. So I'm like, all right, got the plug-in, so I'm happy, guys.
Yeah, I have no idea what happened.
Hey, you got a free plug there that nobody will hear.
Right.
We'll get him in now. We got you now. Check. We know where to check out his stuff, but okay. This is a quarterback show. We're pretty sure, I'm pretty sure it's going to be Ryan Finley, their quarterback. Start off with, before we get to exactly if it's going to be him most likely, but how did the quarterback battle kind of shape out? Like, I know it started out with a bunch of guys, Alex Ogle, got Brett Rippon, who came in early, and then Finley, who played a little bit last year. Kind of how did it go through until from then until the spring game, which just was last week?
Well, there was a lot of hype, and it was all because of Rippon. He came in, he's a four-star recruit. I think he's the second highest recruit to come to Boise State. He's definitely the highest quarterback recruit to ever come there, and he came in January. We saw the guy in Miami in the U playing as a true freshman, so we thought he could do something, but, you know, reality hit in, and Finley looked really good in the spring game and kind of got to take the spring game with a grain of salt. It was downpouring rain. Boise State's defense is probably the best in the Mountain West. New offensive coordinator, and Finley looks good. So unless something dramatic shifts, Finley's going to be the guy.
Well, what about Nick Patty? Any news on him?
I think he's in the mix for the starting job at UCF. So congratulations to Patty. I think he might be working into it.
But seriously, what did Finley do so well that essentially would win him the starting job? Because if Harsin is anything like Peterson, it's not one of those the most senior guy takes over. You really have to prove it.
Well, I'm not going to say his name, but there was a quarterback at UNR that I think plays in the NFL now, and Finley plays a lot like him. He covers ground really fast, even though you can't really tell he's moving. He looks calm. He's making good throws, and that was pretty evident in the spring game.
So you went to an ostrich, right? An ostrich running out there?
Yeah, I think that individual player did bear a passing resemblance to an ostrich. So the thing that's going to be really interesting is what they do at the backup quarterback position because, you know, Rippon's a true freshman, so you'd like to redshirt him, but if he's your second-best quarterback, you really don't have that luxury because you have to have that second quarterback ready to go just in case. So that, I think, is going to be the bigger thing. Boise State fans are not going to be happy to see Rippon burn his redshirt to be a backup quarterback. But Tommy Stewart, who did not look really that spectacular the last two scrimmages last year in 2014, he played all right. Alex Ogle, he's got that big arm. He looked okay, but between the three of them, there's really no separation. So I think that's the more interesting battle. And, you know, there's still a long time, but I think Finley's locked in. And he's tall. He's a three-star recruit in his own right. So he's, I think he'll be okay.
Raj, you know what I've learned about our fan base? You know what I've learned about our fan base? They've become a lot like certain SEC fan bases, that they're not happy when they hear news that doesn't go their way at all. So,
right.
Or
and it's they don't like hearing when other teams are better than them.
Well, you know, I think Boise State's offense is going to be better than people are thinking because, you know, Jai's gone, Hendrick's gone, but bringing back all five offensive linemen, top three wide receivers. Corey Young looks pretty good at the running back position. Jeremy McNichols is going to be back. Jake Rowe is going to be back. Chase Blakely was a four-star tight end that everyone thought was going to play last year, but they redshirted. So their offense is going to be just fine. It might not be as explosive as it was even last year because, you know, they lost to Jai, but their offense is going to be just fine next year.
I'll be honest. You know what this season reminds me of a little bit? It reminds me almost exactly of the 2008 season where that was Kellen Moore's freshman year. You had no clue. You had no clue who the quarterback was going to be. You did have Ian Johnson, who was the senior that year. But I mean, here, yeah, you don't have Ajayi, but you will have Demas, and you will have Jack Fields, and other guys who have had the backup job. So you have an idea, and then you are absolutely stacked. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely stacked at the offensive guard position or at the offensive lineman position. You had Andrew Woodruff, John Gott, Matt Slater. All those guys had at least played some, and it wasn't a complete breeze through.
Yeah, they got two all conference lines, and Marcus Henry and Richie Odiombo. I mean, I think you're reading off the wrong list, man. They got Odiombo, Henry, Averill, Baggett, Yaku as the five returning starters, and all of them started a bunch of games last year. They got a couple of backups too that played, so that offensive line is going to be really solid, probably the best in the conference. And you know, we're not even talking about the defense. And I mean, Jeremy, are you going to make an argument that Utah State or somebody else is going to have better defense than Boise State this year?
No, all I was going to say, I know people. I'm just saying. I said at worst it's going to be between them and Utah State, but Boise does have the edge. It's going to be one of those two teams. But you would have to say Boise State would be because Utah State lost a couple of guys who are going to be in the NFL or get close to it. Even with Kyler Fackrell back for the Aggies, he's good, but he's one guy. I will say this. The linebacking core for Utah State is still probably the best in the league by a good margin, I would say, even with whoever Boise
right.
for the talent they have back. It's going to be between these two teams. And it's not – I don't think it's dumb to say that Boise – like people criticize me, oh, they'll be at worst seconds between them and Utah State. The thing is, it is between them and Utah State. And in fact, last year Utah State had nothing in that Boise game. Their defense is still good, but it's going to be those two teams. But it's Boise, Utah State. It might change, but it's probably how it'll be. It's going to be those two teams. That's all I've been saying. That's where I'm getting at. It's going to be those two teams for their defense. I'm not going to say Utah State's is better at this point. It might be. You never know. Stuff happens, but it's going to be those two teams. And Boise has more returning talent because of what Utah State lost. So that's where I'm at in that.
And Bill Connelly hit the nail on the head when he said this. Basically, the Mountain West has one of the strongest – overall, from team to team to team, they have one of the strongest linebacking cores from team to team to team in the country. You don't see this much linebacker depth from each team in one conference like you do across the nation.
Well, yeah,
as you do in the
Weston Stillhammer, Dakota Cox, Kyle Mackerel, Mitchell, Ben Weaver, Vallejo, Boise, all these guys.
Correa.
Yeah.
Although I think he's lined up the defensive end.
Whatever. Whoever San Diego State brings out there will be good. Every team has, like half the league has, top-end talent in that position. But one thing I want to say, too, about, like, overall Boise State, it's going to come – I get everybody saying they're great, they're going to be good. Here's my opinion. It makes perfect sense for people who are rational towards Boise State. If you're not, you're going to hate me no matter what. Anytime a team –
I hate you.
I know you do, of course. But what I'm getting at, we expect them to be good. Their worst year was 8 wins, and that's even better than most of the mid-major teams out there, a lot of top 50 teams. You miss an NFL running back who's probably top 100 pick. A quarterback, Grant Hendrick, was good. I don't say he's amazing, well above average, but nothing amazing. But you lose those two positions, you got to convince me a little bit you're going to be going defeated or be win the conference again. I'm just saying you got to prove a little bit to me because those two positions are key. I get the line's back, receiver's back, everybody's back. Those two positions are the two most important positions pretty much, and I'm still going to say Boise's the team until they're not, but they're still – I have small concerns just because of who they have at those positions. That's what I'm saying.
Well, when you say small concerns, I'm thinking if Boise State goes worse than 10-2 in the regular season, then something horrific happened at the quarterback position. They're going to go 10-2 at a minimum – and they're going to be favored in every single game, you know, going to BYU and going to Virginia, going to Utah State, hosting Washington. You can't just guarantee those games. But
they probably will. At BYU, it's going to be – I hate to defend BYU a little bit, but I'm just saying I've seen who they
– You're a horrible person and nobody likes you.
I know. I'm not trying to be a prick saying it, but I get your point. They're probably going to win 10 games. That's no problem, but –
worst case, 10 games. I'm thinking 11-12 is what they're going to do. I think this team's going to be on fire. I think Philly is going to be just – offense is going to be good, and this defense is going to be, like, national, like, level good.
I'm wondering if it'll be – I'm not doubting that could be the case, but I'm wondering if it could be a little bit kind of like – well, I think it went two games. But I'm just saying they might start a little slower than people may want to just because of a new QB and running back. Like, I get what everybody's saying. I'm not trying to nitpick to find something wrong, but you have to have some concern by missing those positions with new guys.
Right.
And so I'm thinking
right.
They might start off, I think it'd be Washington. Washington's nothing special, in my opinion. They got some good guys on defense. It is Chris Peters coming in, so he may have a little edge a little bit for some type of stuff, but they may start off slower than people think. And by the time they play BYU, Colorado State, the Utah State stretch, which those two games right there will be tough on the road because of a short week, they'll probably be going. I just think there might be a few bumps in the first month of the season, just a little bit. But even then, they probably should be fine. I just think you can't just say a team's perfect because then you're all your homer for the team. I just think there's going to be something you're going to watch for.
Right. I think one thing that you got to look out for Boise State that people aren't talking about is they have one kicker on scholarship and they have one punter on scholarship. And the kicker, Tyler Rossa, who I believe in, he just hasn't played. He's been Dan Goodale's backup. He was brought in to compete with Goodale 2 years ago. And, you know, I think he's going to do okay. But, you know, injuries or performance. Sean Whale, also, he's a punter. He also kicked in high school. So you have him as a backup. But, you know, I think that's a worry that people aren't talking about. And I believe in Rossa, but, you know, you never know.
Excellent, yeah. So one more quick thing. We got to get through some other teams. With the QB.
Sure.
Because I think Utah State did this a little bit before Daryl Gerritsen left. I believe they wanted, because he was their similar situation with Chucky Keaton there the first time around, or still there, I guess. He was technically the backup, but they were going to register him. I'm wondering, I don't know, I never coached football, so I'm just kind of spitballing. Like, you could have Rippon as your backup, but then he's taking all the reps. Like, have him ready as your number two, but never use him unless you absolutely have to. If you do need him, and depending for a situation, say, forbid Finley just slides and he has to come out for player two and you stick in like Ogle or somebody else. I'm wondering if they'll go that route where Rippon's the guy to go for extended time. But if Finley goes out for something for not even a game, just a couple plays or even a quarter, stick in somebody else to assess the situation. I think that could be a good possibility if they want to save the red shirt. Do you think that's any chance they would even think about doing that type of route?
I would like to think that. I think it'd be situational. I mean, if it's a coin flip between Rippon and Ogle or Stewart, then you go with Ogle or Stewart. But if Rippon's like just slightly better and it's a situational thing where, you know, it's fourth quarter, game's out of hand, even though Rippon's your second best quarterback, you know, you trot Ogle out there. But if it's early in the season and, you know, you see, you know, I hope this doesn't happen, you see Finley holding his arm on the ground, you got to put your second best quarterback out there to try to win you the game.
Yeah, that's what I think. And if you see him, like, hey, you get to, you know how it is, you lose a helmet or something.
Right.
You, like, oh, just here, put this guy in for a couple of plays at the end of the half, put in whoever, sure. And then it says. That's what I think would be the smart thing to do if they can do it. But that's That's just kind of my thought, because that would be, because I think Utah State tried to do that with Daryl Garrettson when they put in, I think it was Craig Harrison 2 years ago, until they realized Harrison, well, you're not the guy. Let's put in this other guy instead.
Well, the last thing to finish on that topic, and I know you got to move on, but I think Brian Harsin has a lot of confidence in his recruiting. He went hard after, I think, Devin Monster, who is a four-star quarterback, and I think he believes he could get another four-star quarterback within a year or two. So, you know, he'll play it a little bit safe, but he's not going to hedge too much. If Ripon is the second-best guy, I think he'll play, unless you're talking about a situation where it's the end of the game or right near the end of the half and you just think Finley just has a stinger. I think Harsin has a ton of confidence in his recruiting to get another four-star in a couple of years if he needs to.
All right, one last thing really quick. What, it's, besides being absurdly early, what are kind of like your expectation you'll see from Finley? Like what numbers or kind of – what would your, what's the goal, essentially your goal for him to say, okay, he's done pretty good for himself? As for, like, interceptions, that type of stuff?
You know, he's going to run more. He's going to run like Hedrick. So he's got to have two turnovers or less every game. And it's going to be hard for him because he's not going to be able to hand the ball to Ajayi. So that's going to be the key because the defense is going to be the thing. So we can't put the defense in a bad position. A lot of short runs, a lot of, like, bubble passes, things like that. So two turnovers or less a game. And if he's moving, scoring about 17, 20 points, I'll be happy.
Excellent. Good stuff. All right. Thank you, Raj. Check him out at RajBNN on Twitter over at Bronco Nation News. And we'll probably chat with you down the road. Good stuff, man, and have a good night.
Take it easy, guys.
Bye. All right. Thanks again for Raj here joining us. Hey, how was that, Chris? Did I do okay?
Yeah, it sounded like you did fine.
No, I wasn't. I'm not trying to, I don't know, maybe I'm trying to play and flip the other side a bit, but I'm just saying,
sure,
those two positions, it'll be tough. What was that?
I said, you're trying to provoke.
I am not trying to provoke. I'm just saying, if you lose an NFL quarterback and an all-conference QB, you might have some struggles. Might.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, but you make it sound a lot more than you're making it out to be.
I probably do, and I realize that partway through the conversation, but I just say there should be some concern there. It shouldn't be, we're great no matter what, even though they've proved. I'm just saying, show me in a game or two, and they're like, okay, you're fine. That's all I'm getting at. I want to see these new guys play. Because, heck, if your offensive line's great, but your running back trips over shoelaces, how good are you?
Obviously pretty good, because Kentucky's still in the SEC.
Well, that's more by happenstance than performance. Let's move
on.
Hey,
look, they kicked Tulane out.
In what, 1943 or something, wasn't it?
Anyway,
let's move
on.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm just saying I just want to hand it to him. That's all I'm saying. But let's move on. We have a few more teams here we'll discuss to wrap this show up. I don't even know how much time we have left here. Let me check my little time here. Oh, it says we have 12 minutes, so we better hurry up here and get through these teams. Let's go to your Rebels in UNLV. You seem to be a big fan of Blake Decker. You seem to like him pretty well.
I am not necessarily a fan of Blake Decker. I'm just going based off what was seen and reported yesterday. That is Blake Decker taking the first-string quarterback position, going 5 for 5, which who knows the last time he did that. He went 5 for 5, 155 yards, 3 touchdowns.
And weren't they all to Devontae?
One of them was to Devontae Boyd.
Do you want Decker, or like who else would there be? Because he started last year.
Well, they had another two guys, really, really young. Leibovitz is out. I think the other guy was out. So the other two potential starters were both freshmen, redshirt freshmen. So I don't think you really have another starter within there. That being said, the other two quarterbacks who performed didn't perform remotely close to how Decker was performing. So I think it basically solidifies Decker in the first-string quarterback position. And here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
With Boyd back, it's going to it can definitely resemble the I'm forgetting the quarterback's name, but Caleb.
Nick Sherry?
No, not Nick Sherry. The other one.
Caleb Herring.
Caleb Herring, Devontae Adams here. So we could be seeing a lot more big plays like that.
Okay.
Which was missing last year of the UNLV offense.
Too many interceptions last year.
Yeah.
Dumb mistakes. I think Decker's a guy. If you have Boyd, if they can have a running game and what Tony Sanchez is starting to do, there could be something there. But he's likely the guy. He'll be the guy. Limit turnovers, he's good. So next team, let's go to the Aztecs. They finished spring.
The last note on the UNLV thing.
Go ahead.
I think it says something that UNLV in their spring game had 3,000 fans.
Is that their average attendance in season?
It's not their average attendance in season, but that's showing there's a lot more spark to life to the team just to start out with. There's a lot more interest.
Well, there is. You got a new coach down the street, national program done so well. It makes sense. There's a lot of interest there. So we'll see. You're going to go to some home games. They'll let us know what happens. So that's Blake Decker on the way. Aztecs. They started spring like in February. I remember during the first press conference, Rocky Long had like, yeah, we got 6 quarterbacks back there. We'll cut it down to maybe 3. Blah, blah, blah. See. Here's what's coming out to you. Nick Bowden, he's out, even though he played a handful of games last year. He's not performing well. Redshirt freshman Christian Chapman, probably the best. He's right there with Kentucky transfer Maxwell Smith. So there's your Kentucky connection, folks. We brought this back in. It's going to be those two guys. It could be Smith. He came in January, transferred. He has 1 year to play, I believe. But if I'm right on that. But it's going to be one of those two guys. I'm glad they trimmed it down after having 6 legitimate guys getting reps the first week and a half of spring.
Yeah, this is one of those things. Right now, Bowden's out of the picture. Bowden did not do well at all, and a lot of Aztec fans were complaining about Noodle Arm. Or I'm sorry, that was Quinn Taylor. Both of them, it was. But
hey, at least Taylor had a shoulder excuse, actually. So
yeah, I think Maxwell Smith, the Kentucky transfer, is definitely going to take this job. I don't see Rocky Long starting a redshirt freshman. I think Bowden was the exception to the rule last year just because of the injury to Kaler. But there's no way on day one, and I'm going to be kicking myself when I'm wrong. I don't think there's any way on day one where Christian Chapman is going to be taking the snaps on that first game.
Highly, I'm like, they'll probably do as a lot of teams do. There's two, like most of these teams in the league, like here's a, depending how real the battle is, they'll battle for at least the first week or two of camp, give them the last week full team reps, then give them the first week of the, obviously, so you know they're the guy going into the first week. So they may split some carries or even maybe, or split snaps a little bit, then kind of taper it down a little bit, but it has to be Maxwell Smith. Kentucky wasn't very good, but who knows what Kentucky usually normally has. It's probably going to be him, and they need to find a guy who can actually play because the past couple years they've had some bad luck with injuries. So they can get Maxwell Smith to be the guy. And they got Donald Pumphrey. He's going to be, in my opinion, the offensive preseason player of the year, as he should be. Give him the ball a lot, and hopefully the receivers, they finally get some guys back. They can actually have guys throw the ball to with teams wanting to stop the run. And so that probably can help Smith out.
All right, moving on. Who's next?
Let's go to Utah State real quick. It is Truckee Keaton, but Daryl Garrett's in transfer, and that kind of threw everybody for a loop, likely going to Oregon State.
Yeah, but that means we still have Craig Harrison and
Nope, Craig Harrison's graduated. Truckee Keaton, because we talked with Parker last week about this. He's at the game. They have Parker really likes Damien Hobbs, the Oregon transfer. He actually committed to Utah State, flipped to Oregon, then came back. They have him. I don't know what the deal with Kent Myers is. He's listed as a wide receiver, but he played quarterback. And
he's
I should
Truckee Keaton 2.0. They just listed Truckee Keaton twice.
We'll see. I don't know about that. But the thing is, it's going to be I missed the guy's name. He's going to be the backup to Keaton. Because I think this is the same situation as Boise State. The starter's in place, but the backup. Because you and I know Keaton might only play 7 games this year at that. And so the backup's going to be the key position there. I'm trying to pull up the preview here because I thought I had his name written down. But it's going to be between Damien Hobbs and this redshirt freshman. I think it's DJ something. people are probably yelling at their headphones. It's that guy, you idiot. You don't know anything. But really quick, with Keaton, are you confident he'll even – like, where would you rank him amongst the quarterbacks in the conference?
Upper half.
Because he three of his – he has only finished two of the – like, three seasons he's left without finishing the year with injury. Would you wouldn't say him he's the best quarterback anymore, would you?
If he's healthy, yes, he has the potential to be.
Who would you say that would be? I know we'll get to these other teams in a minute, but who would you say the best quarterback is?
Lamar Jordan.
I was going to say that, actually.
You know, it's not a far stretch. And especially now since New Mexico is going to no-huddle offense, so they're already fast to begin with, and they're going to no-huddle next year, they're turning into Oregon.
And
so
they're actually going to throw
Jordan,
a bit, too.
You give Lamar Jordan just a little bit of accuracy, holy hell.
Get Carlos Wiggins
actually,
the
you know
ball.
What? Yeah. I'll tell you. No. I think Max Wittig.
Wait.
I saw Max Wittig play against Utah State.
Wait, hold on. What team did he play for against Utah State?
He played for USC.
There you go.
And he actually did fairly well. So I could see him. I could see him being successful for the Rainbow Warriors.
It could
and
be, yeah.
Really being leading the way for the Mountain West quarterbacks. We've had such a slew of top quarterbacks in this conference, and
still
now
recovering.
It's like everybody's new, and now it's like everybody's new. So we're like, who's going to do what?
If I had to go ahead and make
a top four list, right? So the top third of the conference. I'm gonna go. Probably Jordan, Lamar Jordan. I'm going to go Max Wittig. I'm going to go Chucky Keaton. And you're going to laugh at me. The reason why Finley's not on here is just because Finley hasn't proven himself yet. I'm going to go Blake Decker.
Ooh, I was going to say everything the same except for Nate Romine. The thing is, it's true. Finley could be the best guy. It could be Nick Stevens from Colorado State. It could be Joe Gray. Not Joe Gray. Let me scratch that from the list. Maxwell Smith from San Diego State, because we haven't seen the guys play. Anybody who's played, you have Greenlee played sparingly. The most experienced guy is Keaton by far. We've seen Max Wittig, but not at Hawaii. People see Maxwell Smith at Kentucky. And we see Nate Romine. Nate Romine is the second most experienced quarterback in the conference, and he didn't even start last year.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's tough to decide. I could seriously get rid of San Jose State because, sorry, I'm not buying Joe Gray, and that's about it. I could see any of the other quarterbacks, 11 of the 12, maybe out. Probably not Wyoming because they're starting some brand new guys there. We're going to probably skip out on Wyoming. Sorry, folks, there. But the Kaufman's probably not going to be the best guy in the league. But give me 10 of the 12, and any of those could probably be the best QB in the league. No joke. Is that too far?
And so here's the final note. Maxwell Smith, I could see up there. But I just, once again, the last time he played was in 2013. And he did very well when he was playing before he got injured. Before he got injured, he was 105 for 183. That's a completion percentage of 57.4. 1,276 yards, 9 touchdowns, 1 interception, which is definitely something you want to see. But that injury completely left him out in 2014, and then he transferred to San Diego State, which means what is he going to look like? We're really not too sure.
Yeah, that's the thing is we don't know half these guys where they're going to be, but that's show for tonight. Sorry if you hear that countdown going on. My headphones are not working properly, so did you hear that? Probably, yes?
No, I did not.
Oh, you didn't hear the
nope.
90 seconds, 60 seconds, but we're wrapping up here. We didn't get to Hawaii. We could laugh at, but like I said, we talked about Max Wittig. Check us out, mwcconnection.com. We're coming back hopefully every week from now until January for bowl games, everything going on, previews. We'll have all sorts of stuff going on. So it's Chris Andres over there, Jerry Moss. Check out our website. And I guess we like every team, but some people don't think we do. So we'll chat with you guys next week about that.
at Greek Padre, at Jeremy Moss, maybe